I read a lot of scriptures so that one of the reasons why I'm doing this is so that when you get home, you won't be able to say, she said. You can see it for yourself in the Word of God. And I'm sure you guys have already prayed, right? Do I need to pray again? They had corporate prayer. Let me pray again. I just want to make sure we covered. Father, I thank you that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because you've anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, announce release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered all who have been oppressed by Satan, to proclaim your acceptable year where your salvation and free favors profusely abound. I decrease once again so that you may increase. I take authority over any and everything Satan would try to do to hinder me from delivering this word and hinder the people from receiving your word. Father, I thank you. Your word says when we submit to you and resist Satan, he must flee. So, Father, I thank you in advance for everything that shall be accomplished, and we'll be careful to give you alone all the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Oh, I know what's wrong. Y'all wanted Pastor Rex this week. Is that what it was? Somebody said he'll be back. Praise God. I promise you he's coming back. But I was listening to him this morning, man. He brought it down. He was bringing it down before I came in here, so it's good. Okay, but I'm going to work this out. We're talking about what's my subject? We're talking about moving forward, okay? And when Pharaoh drew near, let me stop before I go into the scripture. This is talking about the Israelites. For those of y'all who don't read your Bible and maybe don't understand, or maybe you haven't had a chance to get to Genesis yet, praise God, y'all didn't get that. But at any rate, it's talking about the Israelites when they were getting ready to cross over the Red Sea when they had left Pharaoh. Pharaoh is also symbolic of the world, okay? So sometimes when I say let Pharaoh go, let the world go. Sometimes we refer to it as Pharaoh, okay? So let's listen. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were already finally, they were free. You know, they were going through all this different stuff, and God kept telling Moses to tell Pharaoh, let them go, and he wouldn't let them go, okay? So finally, they were free, okay? So they were very afraid. Notice it says they were very afraid. So they had left them, Egypt. Now Pharaoh, who, you know, was pursuing them, okay? So can you imagine the terror, the person who was supposed to let you go, that had you in bondage all those years, now he's coming after you. But what that got to do with today, whatever you were supposed to let go concerning the world, the things that had been holding you down, you have to make a choice to let it go. Okay, listen at this now. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Hold on. One of the tactics of the enemy to keep you stuck wherever you are is to use fear. Let me make it even more plain. Mostly any challenges that you're dealing with in life all stem back to the root of fear. Okay. Why you don't tithe? Because you're afraid of being broke. Why people don't believe in healing? Because a lot of them are afraid that it's not for them. Okay, y'all looking at me in that tone of voice. There are even some people who are fearful of marriage because of bad experiences. There are some people who are fearful of dating. Why? Bad experiences. So go back to the root of why you're feeling the way that you are feeling. So he said they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, they talked to Pastor Riggs, they talked to Pastor Tracy, because there was no graves in Egypt. Have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? So whenever you're going through a hardship, just say, for example, you try to tithe and it's not working. The first thing the devil wants you to do is start being afraid and blaming somebody, trying to find reasons why it's not working. Let me give you a nugget. The word will always work when you make a choice to work it. It's going to always work. It's never an option of failure when you use the word. If there's a failure, it's on our part. Okay, y'all not looking at me. Or it's just time for you to wait on the manifestation to take place, but God can never fail. God is not a man that he should lie. So it's never on God's part. So listen at this. He says, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And see, the devil trying to make you think it was better where you came from. You should have just stuck with the man. At least you had a husband. No, he would beat you foolishly. Praise the Lord. I'm going to keep it holy. Praise God. Somebody get offended. I said the other word. So the enemy might make, well, you know what, it would have been better if you had just stayed on this other job. No, the Lord told you to start that business. Don't be afraid. Amen. Just move forward. Watch this. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Let me say something else before I go back to this part. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Whenever you operate in fear, it's going to warp your thinking, for the lack of a better word. You can't even think clearly when you're operating under fear. Start saying crazy stuff. You know, your mind, it play tricks on you when you're operating in fear. Man, I wish I had just, I don't know what made me start going to church. All hell broke loose when I started going to church. Tried to stay from the word hell, but it came out again. Sorry, y'all. I mean, he always, when you start being afraid and fearful, he have you to think crazy. Like a desperate single person, start talking crazy. I'm just going to do it my way. No, see, you get ready to mess up. Just because you're a certain age does not mean that God has forgotten about your age. Never get desperate based upon your age. If you're 75 years old, if you still want to be married, God can send you somebody. But you have to do it his way in order to see success. Okay, look this way. He says, look, do not be afraid. Stand still. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Sometimes you just need to make a choice. I'm going to stand still. I'm going to see the salvation. What do you mean? The wholeness of God in every area of my life. Now watch this, he said. And see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. Today. Somebody say, today is my day. You can make a choice. I'm coming out today. Wow. Watch this. He said, for the Egyptians whom you see, do y'all see this? Today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Tell your neighbor, go forward. Gosh. And I know it seemed too good to be true, but this thing is in my spirit. It's time to move forward. And let me tell you what God began to share with me when I was studying this. You cannot go forward while you're looking back. I got scripture for that. Remember Lot's wife? She looked back, turned into a pillar of salt. There is nothing behind you. I remember the old folks used to say, God don't give you no look back, man. Y'all remember anybody saying that? Don't look back. In other words, you have a destination to reach. And you have to look forward, okay? God, I don't care what comes along. I'm not going to be afraid of whatever comes my way because I know as long as you have given me this charge that your angels are camped around and about me to deliver me from any hurt, harm, or danger. And I know that no weapon formed against me will prosper, and I'm going to do whatever you told me to do to keep moving forward. Okay, y'all looking at me in that tone of voice. Oh, Pastor Tracy, you don't know I've always been fearful and afraid. Go to Ezekiel 36, verse 26. I want the New Living Translation. Man, sometimes it's just a matter, like I said earlier, making a choice. Well, not sometimes, all the time. I choose to go forward. Some of you guys in relationships got you messed up to the point to where you can't even move forward. Man, okay, it didn't work. Thank God that you showed me a way out, God. Now I got to go forward. There are some of you afraid to trust God financially because of what happened in your past. Yeah, because your mom made a bad choice. You don't have to be afraid of money. Because however you grew up, it will stay in you unless you renew your mind. There are people who are stingy right now because they grew up in homes where money was very scarce. So now it's like, I can't trust God because if I do, we might get put out. We lost our house when I was 10. You 30. Okay, look this way. Keep going. Did you go to Ezekiel? Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. Somebody say, I've made a choice today to move forward. And I will give you a new heart. And I will put a new spirit in you. You need to get a new heart, a new spirit. Okay, maybe it didn't work before, but today I make a choice to renew my mind. Watch this. It says, and I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. In other words, the heart that was stubborn to the things of God. Take that away from me, God. I don't want to be stubborn. If you're telling me to tithe and sow my seed and trust you, I'm not going to be rebellious and stubborn. Give me a new heart, a heart that will trust you, God. Even though my past is saying something negative, I trust you for my future that I will move forward positively. Okay, look at it in the Message translation. Let me see what it says in the Message. So we're going somewhere. Gosh, I don't know about you guys, but I'm blessing myself. Good Lord. Did you go in the Message? Okay, I'll give you, this is God speaking, a new heart. Put a new spirit in you. You know, somebody, this is just how I was raised. I just grew up around negative people. I don't know how to think differently. I can't move forward because all I've ever done in my life was think about things on the past that have held me down. I'm stuck in this rut. You're not stuck. Okay. He says, I'll remove the stone heart from your body and replace it with a heart that's God-willed, not self-willed. So what do you have to do to move forward? Become God-willed and not self-willed. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in a little bit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4 in the Message translation. 1 Thessalonians verse 1. I'm sorry, chapter 1 and verse 4. Let me show you something. Somebody going to get free this morning. It is clear to us, friends, that God not only loves you very much, Shekinah Glory Ashboro, but also has put his hands on you for something special. Oh, if you're not excited about that, I don't know what. He has put his hands on you, JoJo, for something special. When the devil tried to tell you you can't move, I got to move forward because it's something special. God has his hands on me. See, I know where I'm going. People don't like to hear this kind of talk, but I'm going to tell you, I know the nations that we shall reach. I know what's happening in Ashboro. I'm not moved by what I see because God has his hands on us here for something special. But we have to make a choice to walk by faith and not by sight. Whatever it is that's trying to keep you in a rut this morning, you have to make a choice. I choose to move forward. God has his hands on you for something special. Repeat after me. God has his hands on me for something special. Now give him a shout of praise. In order to move forward, number one, you're going to have to watch out for wrong associations. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Man, you got to watch out for associate because everybody's not ready, mother, to move forward. And some people around you don't want you to move forward. I know you don't believe that. There are some people in your family. Man, you getting all bourgeois since you got a new job. No, I just made up my mind that I'm not going to let y'all keep me from a good job like y'all did from the old job. Okay, y'all. Okay, that wasn't a good one, was it? I'm not mad with you all because of the decisions that I decide to make to move forward. I'm not hanging out with y'all every Sunday talking about other people. Amen. My mindset have changed. Okay. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Let me read it to you out of this translation because I don't know if this this was. Let me read it to you out of the God's Word translation. I don't know if they have that one, but let me read it. Don't let anyone deceive you. Associating with bad people will ruin decent people. Did y'all hear that? Associating with bad people will ruin decent people. It said, don't let anyone deceive you. So I don't care how good you are. When you start dealing with bad people or people who are wrong influence, it will ruin you. That's why back in the day, I understand it better now. When I was younger, I didn't. My dad didn't let any kind of guys come to our house. First of all, we were in a small town, but he wanted to know who your family. And the reason why he wanted to know who is your family, because he felt like, you know, the tree don't fall too far. What they said, an apple don't fall too far from the tree. In other words, if your daddy never did anything and your mama's not doing anything, what are your chances of doing better? Now, of course, being believers now, my most important question to anybody who wants to date our children would not be what's your name and who your family, but are you a believer? Do you love Jesus? Where you go to church? I even told them Wednesday night, I want to know references. Let me call your pastor and see how, yeah, seriously, because everybody say they saved and go to church right about now. I wasn't going here, but I'll say this. See, it's hard to move forward when you're in the wrong relationship, and God forbid you marry somebody. Matter of fact, if you go to, I showed you guys this last time, 2 Corinthians 6:14. I don't know who this is for. I know I'm not. Matter of fact, I'm not as a pastor going to marry an unbeliever to a believer. I'm not. Amen. See, Chappelle, I can't tell any other pastors what to do, but I'm not. Because you're going to go through counseling first. Because see, what this got to do with moving forward, I know so many women who are stagnant, they're not able to move forward because they're in wrong relationships. Okay, why are you talking to us this morning? I have an anointing for you. People don't believe. God anointed me for women. Any woman around me, not even uninformed, is because they're making a choice not to take advantage of the resources that's available. Man, we had an awesome God's jewels. People's lives getting changed. If you make a choice not to do this, it's on you. But I promise you, wrong connections can be a matter of you being successful versus unsuccessful. Now look what it says. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? What y'all gonna talk about? God has given me a vision. He looking at you crazy, like, for real? She looking at you like, well, yeah, for real. Listen to what it says in the, I know she probably don't, I don't think they have this translation, but I'm going to read it out of the Weymouth New Testament. Do not come into close association with unbelievers, like oxen yoked with asses. For what is there in common between righteousness and lawlessness? Or what partnership has light with darkness? So he says, don't even come in close association. And if you go back through the Old Testament, he tells them why not to do this. Matter of fact, go to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 3 through 4. Do you have the ESV version? Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 3 through 4. Yeah, you can't move forward when you're stuck in bad relationships. I mean, you can, but you have to make a choice to unyoke yourself. Oh, I'm married. Well, you're going to have to pray to God, turn them around. Now, I'm trying to help somebody before they get in the trap. Watch this. Nor should you make marriages with them. This is what God is warning us about. So even us, those of us who have children, you are going to be held accountable to God what you're saying yes to. I like my shirt that says, y'all see, say yes. But I'm saying yes to Jesus. But you got to make a choice of what you're going to say yes to. Well, we just going to hang out a little bit. Let me tell you the danger in just hanging out a little bit. Because once you start associating and you start hearing things that sound good in your ear, the Bible says faith comes by hearing. And we're not talking about just for the word. Faith for negativity also comes by hearing. Why do you got faith that you're going to die at 40? Because you've been hearing folks say everybody in our family passed by the time they turn 40. So now you got faith for that. I can hear Pastor X now. You're going to have to start writing and reciting this word to overcome that, to move forward. But this is a negative for somebody. Nor should you make marriages with them. You should not give your daughter to their son. So me personally, I'm not. I'm not giving my spiritual daughters, our spiritual daughters, to any unbelievers. I'm not going to do it. Because I know you're doomed for destruction. I hear you. Somebody told me, well, I know people who saved and they having problems. You're right. So if they're saved and both of them saved and got Jesus in their heart and they're being challenged, what you think gonna happen when you got one trying to do what's right and serve God and one that don't care? What do you think? Well, I know two unsaved people that's happy. Yeah, because they're not a threat. They probably party, get it on all day, and they're not even a threat. The devil's like, oh, you on my team. Hey, high five. And let me give you a little nugget for those of us who are doing kingdom. Don't think it's strange concerning the fiery darts and trials. I don't think it's strange when the enemy trying to attack my marriage. Are you serious? Amen. But I know who gets the victory in the end because we're moving forward. Okay, y'all looking at me in that tone of voice. For he tells them why. Nor give your daughter to their son, nor take their daughter for your son. Same thing for our son. No, you're not dating Shanika. I don't care how fine she is. President Barack Obama can be her uncle. Seriously. It could be one of his daughters that come to our door and knock. Are you saved? Yes, because everybody say yeah. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Because see, you don't need him to keep you. The Bible says he's the keeper, the helper. So if you want to marry our child, you need him to help you love her like Christ loved the church. Amen. To love Rex Jr. like he need to be loved, you're going to need the helper. Now you're not going to take my child somewhere and beat the hell. Oh, Lord, I'm helling again. Y'all don't put me out of here. Pastor coming back. But you're not taking my child. My daughter say, Mama, you can't cuss. I said, that's a holy cuss word because it's in the Bible. Say, it's a holy cuss word. Praise God. But you're not going to take my child, our children, anywhere and mistreat them. And it took us years to raise them up, an investment of our time, resources, and energy for you to put your hands on my child. Are you serious? You're not going to do that. Ooh, well, when they get grown, you can't tell them what to do. Let me give you a little nugget about grown. When you have children, this is what I've seen. 45-year-old children, whatever happens to them, it will affect you in your life. Any good parent, can I get a witness? Whatever decisions they're making, well, for those of us who care, That's good, parents. It is going to affect you when they're over here in this house and you can't do nothing but cry out to God and you know all hell breaking loose. You're like, I wish to God I had told you years ago what the Holy Ghost told me to tell you, and I ain't scared to tell you. You might be mad with me today, but you're going to love me 1 year. It might not be this year, but 1 year, when you go back and look over that thing you left, there were, God knows I didn't date a lot, but some of the guys that I did date, when I was blind with one eye open and drunk. Because see, that's what you are. You're blind, one eye open, drunk. Yeah, yeah, you do stupid stuff. I'm thinking, Lord, thank you. For real. Lord, I thank you caused me to move forward. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Ooh, I need to call Rex now and tell him how much I love him. I love you, Rex. Thank you, Jesus. God knows. I love you, Jesus, for loving me enough to not to let me get stuck. God forbid if I had got trapped. Ooh, Jesus, Lord, thank God nothing didn't come out. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You don't want them, because he says, for they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. Of course, New Testament, we know he's not destroying you, but you're doomed for destruction. He said, how do you know they're going to turn you away? Because I've seen countless occasions. She was on fire, or he was on fire. And as soon as they started dating, here you go, we don't see you no more. And when you do, you in la-la land. I'm here, Pastor. You ain't doing me no favor. Because all of a sudden, now your heart have been turned, and now you're stuck in this rut. Because let me give you a little nugget, baby. I promise you, the only way somebody can really love you right is to do it God's way. I don't know who this is for. Well, I'm in a marriage like that now. Well, the Bible said an unbelieving husband can be sanctified by the wife, but he got to want to do that. Yeah, God can turn it around, but why go through unnecessary foolishness that you don't have to? I heard you now. Well, you just don't want me to get married. Okay, stay where you are. See, your mind start going places when folks, well, she got married. And let me give you a nugget, another nugget. So she's going to give us a nugget. I prayed for real, for real. We didn't jump off in lust and decide that we wanted to be together. I don't know who this is for, but maybe the Lord ministered to you. No, we did not. I prayed concerning my mate, and I waited for God to bring. I had never heard of a Rick's family. Never seen him on those parts, praise the Lord. Nobody of that sort. Prayed to God, and God sent Pastor Rex to my church while I was preaching and set him there while I was preaching. Another pastor friend of ours brought him down. You guys not hearing what I'm saying? I wasn't moved by he looked good, because he sure looked good. Now, praise the Lord. But I made a choice that I didn't want anything to turn me away from God. And we had to talk. My dad a preacher, so what are you? Just cause your dad a preacher don't mean you say. Don't mean nothing. Matter of fact, they tell me some of them show out worse than anybody else. That's what they tell me. Now I don't know. That's what they say. Y'all know y'all say that, the preachers and the teachers. And see, I was moving forward, so I knew that if I had made a bad choice, it was gonna hinder my progress. So we had long conversations. I ain't say long sex. Let me go on this side of the room. Because when you jump in the bed, how you know? You've been with me a while. You're going to lose your head. Yes, you are. Ain't nobody going to tell you nothing. I'm sorry. He told you this for a reason about waiting and holding your stuff, keeping it locked in. Because when you get in the bed, your mama can't tell you nothing. Your dad, you can't tell yourself nothing because you say, I ain't going back no more. Yeah, I'm going back. Yes, I will. He'd have knocked your head around the room. Let me get a little bit more. You can't move forward because your mind is stuck back there where the passion and the lust is. Okay, somebody said, look this way, we won't know it's you. He said, because they're going to turn you away from following me. That's what's going to happen. And see, not that you feel it. God ain't condemning you when you miss it. But guess what the devil want to do? He wants you to miss it. He going to take you away. And then when we see you, I see it happen all the time. You're like, Pastor, head down. Hold your head up. Boy, ain't nobody mad. Come on in the house. You can't even hold your hand up in worship because he's telling you, now, you know your legs was up last night, and now you got your hands up today. You ought to be ashamed of your. That's what the devil telling you. Okay, y'all looking at me in this tone of voice. That's the stuff the devil would tell you. God ain't condemn you. God's like, look, close them up, get it right. I'm going to help you. Get the helper, let him help you. I'll help you close them. But I don't want help right now, God. Have y'all? Okay, not you, but somebody you know. See, when your mind go on the other side, and you stuck in that rut, you think you want more. Because let me give you another nugget. Flesh don't love God. Flesh will take anything you give it. Okay, Good example. You came off of that weed about 2 weeks ago. You've been praying every day. But as sure as you went back to that environment where they was getting high, you're like, Lord, let me hit it one more time. Okay, let me go over here. Flesh will take anything that you give it. Your flesh don't love God. Now, your spirit connects with God, but flesh don't. I didn't want to say this, but I'll say, I told our church this last Wednesday, God was giving me some revelation on this thing with moving forward. And y'all, we got to go. And I was talking to our youth, but this goes for anybody. I told the youth this last Wednesday. I was talking to a young lady, and she's like, Pastor, I'm going to be honest. I don't listen to CDs, okay? I really ain't been reading my Bible, okay? But you telling me about a guy you want to date that's not saved, to me, he what kind of job he got? Okay, you do the math. Don't put your head in the sand, Christian parents. Don't put your head in the sand. Don't be saved and stupid. That's not a good combination. Okay, they're not reading the word. They don't listen to CDs because half the grown folks don't. What do they have to keep them? And you got a man coming over here saying, ain't nothing wrong with this. Or you got a girl saying that, what's wrong with that? God forgive you. He know you. You got feelings, man. God know your heart. You know your hormones acting up. He know. You know the stupid stuff they start telling you, and who you think gonna hold out? I remember this past week we were watching Preachers of L.A. after Bible study, and it bothered me and my husband. We were watching TV. That was a young Caucasian man who was a 49-year-old virgin, had never been kissed, and the church folks tried to stone him. They were looking at him crazy. I don't know if some of y'all saw that. They like, the church, I'm like, thank God for one person in America that can stand up and say they're 49 years old, a virgin, never been kissed. I'm like, praise ye the Lord. What planet you grew up on? And the pastors had the nerve to make the comment. I tried that before. The next time I get married, I'm my first wife. That didn't work for me. You know, making comments to the young lady because she said that she was going to wait. Another young lady said, how you know it's going to be good? It's got to be good for me. And she made the comment that I know I would have said. She said, God know what I like and what I want. Amen. And when it comes, it's going to be right. Amen. If God sent it. But you got half of the church world thinking warped and crazy and deceived. So how you going to move forward if you're hanging around even unbelieving believers? So if you dating an unbelieving believer, y'all two have a hard time trying to make it. What do you think about a stone cold unbeliever that want nothing to do with God? Except when he feel like y'all getting ready to get in some trouble, let's pray. Then let me give you another nugget to the women, because I have an anointing for women. I'm going to be quiet just shortly. That man that you marry, guess what? He leads you. I heard women say this so many times. Oh, my God. I would tithe, but he won't let me. For real? He won't let you tithe. So now you got to fight him about giving to your God. Okay. Now y'all in an argument every time you get ready for church. I can hear Pastor Rex now when he said Wednesday, him won't let me go. You getting ready for church like you customary was doing. And now that he got you locked down, you ain't leaving out of this house tonight. You ain't going to drive that car. Now y'all got the fight. And so by the time you do get to church, you got to go through all kind of warfare just to get back in the presence of God. Who want to be bothered with that when you're trying to move forward? Okay, let me be quiet. He says, but they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. Okay, that one wasn't a good enough one. Go to Philippians 3, verse 12 through 16. Let me check it out in the message. Man, this is good. I don't know about to you. I don't want to be caught in no rut. Who want to be stuck going through the same stuff? And let me tell you this. Marriage was meant to be blissful. Yes, attacks do come. I can hear you now. Well, you've been. Yes, I have. Matter of fact, the Bible talks about many are the afflictions of the righteous. But it says God delivers us out of them all. But you notice it says the affliction of the righteous. It didn't say the unbeliever. God delivers the unbeliever out of all of ours. I'm sorry, all the believers out of, how am I saying this? God delivers all of us that are believers. He's going to deliver us out of all of our afflictions. I don't want nobody to get confused. Let me go slow. Can I go back again? God is going to deliver all of us that are believers out of our afflictions. Okay? Because many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them. Who are them? The righteous out of them what? All. So if you're an unbeliever, you're not qualified for this scripture. So what you going to do when they come for you? There are women in prison right now from being yoked up with the wrong person. Because see, when you turn on some of these folks out here, even a believer, the enemy know what to do to get you upset. He know how to work you. So now you done snapped. And you done killed somebody over something that could have been avoided. And now you getting ready to get locked up in the orange jumpsuit. There are daddies in prison now for having to go kill somebody over their daughter that should have never been with that person anyway. Okay, let me go over here. You got aunts and uncles in prison behind me getting ready to get rid of somebody that you don't need to be yoked up with anyway. Follow the path God set for you. I don't know who this is for, I don't know why God is coming this way, but we have to be wise. We cannot go against the principles of God and expect good success. You cannot go forward when you have wrong associations. Amen. People can be toxic, man. And let me, I don't know, ooh, I heard this strong. Because when you start having sex, there's soul ties take place. And it's not hard, it's not easy, I'm sorry, to split it apart once you start having soul ties. What do you mean soul ties? You begin to become one. Now you wonder why you're thinking crazy thoughts. Because that connection you have. You can't think clearly because whoever you yoked up with, that's why he said don't be yoked together with them. Okay, y'all looking at me in that tone of voice. Listen at this. He says, I'm not saying that I have this all together, Paul said that. That I have made it. I know y'all thinking it. She acting like she'd have made it. No, I done made stupid mistakes. But the mistakes I have made, Eric, I made a choice that now that I have the revelation of Christ and my mind has become renewed, I'm not doing that same crap I used to do. I'm moving forward. I refuse to let our kids make some of the mistakes I made. I heard, this is what parents be saying. Well, I had to learn my lesson. Let them learn. Some things you don't have to learn by bumping your, okay, if I tell you a hole in the road right there, you got to hit it to know it's there. Go around it, boo-boo. Well, I had to hit that road to know God. No, you didn't. You were stubborn. Your heart stubborn. You were being rebellious. God told me, he said, Tracy, I have anointed you that every woman that come in your presence, that if they receive what I have gave to you, they will never again in their lives be uninformed and naive. That's what he told me. But guess what? Half of the women rejected that I come across. But it's okay. I don't even take it personally. He told me, don't take it personally. They rejected Jesus. But the ones that won't help, he said they will have the help they need. And not only will they be successful, but they'll be able to move forward and take it to a whole nother level. Man, you don't have to bump your head to know God is real. I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have made it, but I'm well on my way. Reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. Tell your neighbor, I'm not turning back. Move forward. Let's see what the Amplified say. Somebody say, you got to, number one, leave those associations alone. Number two, forget those things that are behind. Forget them. Make a choice to forget it. So let's keep focused on the goal. See, when I was in college, I didn't even have Jesus, but my focus was getting my education. I didn't want no extra baggage. I don't want no extra stuff. I just want to get my education. So it caused me to stay focused when some folk were going crazy. Okay, what's wrong with you right now? What is your goals? Write your goals down. Write and recite what you want to see happen in your life and make a choice to go forward. I got goals set. Those of y'all who are young in here, set goals for your life. See, I don't know about y'all, but see, my daddy had threatened me. It wasn't Jesus that kept me. It was my dad, because he was like, if you bring something back here, you ain't going to school. He was like, he said, and I felt like he meant it. Now, I don't know, he might not have, but I felt like how he said it. So my thing was, I'm not staying in this city. I'm going to college. So when other kids were skipping school and doing stupid stuff, the fear of L.J. Stallworth was in me. It wasn't the Holy Ghost. It wasn't Jesus. It was L.J. Stallworth, my dad. That was the fear that was on me. So I'm like, oh no, when the guys tried to get with me, because I'll be the one to get caught, and I'm going to be stuck here in Mount Vernon. The devil is a lie. If y'all know what I meant by Mount Vernon, Asheboro look like a metropolitan city compared to where I came from. I can't do it. Mm-mm. And now he might have been telling me a tale, I don't know, but I felt like he meant what he said. Sometimes parents, let me give you a little nigga, you got to blow a little smoke. If you're scared, I told him the other night, don't act scared. Johnny, sit down. You be, ask God for some courage. Be bold. Johnny, sit down. You might be shaking. Johnny, sit down. Johnny, sit down. Don't let them know you're scared. I'm scared, say you're scared. Don't let your parents get to the kids. If I say you're not driving the car, you're not driving it. I'm not going to have to raise my voice. That's what I said. I'm paying the note, and I pay for your cell phone. So if you get too smart, I will take both of them. Well, I'm grown. Grown is pay your own bills. Grown, when you make your own choices, when you pay your bills. You pay your own cell phone bill. You pay your own car note. That's when grown can do what grown want to do. Thank you. You got your own, okay? I know the new school parents, y'all don't believe in this, but it's all good. Because sometimes somebody just needs you to be firm. See, I thank God my daddy, Sister Dorita, didn't let me do everything I want to do. I do. Because I was just as foolish as anybody else. I could have been just as foolish. But he didn't let me be foolish with the threats and with the, didn't even have Jesus. I wasn't saved growing up. Then you got the church girls over here acting a nut. Y'all go to church, y'all praying in some kind of tongue, and y'all showing up, saints going, wow. And then the parents sit up and say, she's not condemning us. I promise I'm not. I'm not condemning. We're just trying to give you some encouragement on how to do it God's way. Let's move forward. Your family's stuck when everybody's back in La La Land. Just because you become saved don't mean your kids become saved instantly. Sometimes if they remember how you acted before y'all got saved, it's going to take them a process. But guess what? I make the decisions in this house now. We are going to tithe. Yes, we are. Amen. We are going to live holy. Yes, we are. And let me tell you something about change. It don't feel good. Told them Wednesday night, but change is good. Say, it's working for me. It's not against you, but it's working for you. Change is good. Nobody likes change. I remember growing up in the house, you're too old to be young and too young to be old. Just you, you know, mama leave me alone. Who remember? Oh, y'all probably. I remember those days. But thank God for somebody who saw in me what I couldn't see at the time that caused me to go forward. Watch this now. He says, so let's keep focused on that goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us, if any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. Your vision is blurred when you're stuck back there in the past. God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. It's saying you got to be perfect, but the things I did before, Eric, I don't do them like that anymore. Okay, y'all looking at me in that tone of voice. Pastor, how long is this going to be? I'm almost done because I know you got to go back and do what you was doing. Number three, we got to set our minds on things above. Go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, and the Amplified. Somebody said you got to set your mind on this. Not on what kind of man you want. For those of y'all who single, your mind should even be on that thing like that. Get your mind focused on your goals in life. You got the rest of your life to be married. Married, tell them married people. Man, the rest of your life to be married. I mean, marriage is a wonderful thing. Which y'all, do y'all agree? But you have the rest of your life, man. You young. Go out and enjoy yourself. Who want to be tied down over foolery? Who got time for that? Blood pressure up and you ain't but 20. For real, though? Not over you. You're not worth that. For real? Look at this. And set your mind. Look at this, your minds, and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not on the things that are on the earth. You got to set your mind and keep your mind there. Go to the message. I'm in there. I only got a couple more scriptures. I don't want y'all to think I'm beating you down, but when you learn better, my dad used to say this, do better. And when I learn better, I want better. Who ready to move forward? Can't look back going forward. You know, sometimes the devil make you think crazy stuff. You got to set your mind on things above. Well, you know, nobody in our family was ever a millionaire. Well, why don't you try to be the first one? Believe God, write and recite it. Listen at this. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorb with the things right in front of you. It's a distraction. I was telling them Wednesday night, even when you're in the military, most of the people who've been in the military, what I've heard, when you're going through your training, you can't even talk to people back at home. Why they don't want you doing that? They don't want anything, even if it's mom and them. They don't want anything and anybody to distract you from the goal that you have set. You got to finish this course. Gosh, there's too many, especially in the church, distracted, man. Well, Pastor, I would come, but I got this to do. For real, though? It's that serious, though. And see, what the enemy will try to do, if he know it's working, he's going to make sure every week something come up. Something's going to happen. Watch him. Watch him. Look at this. He says, don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorb with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. Now, this is really where the action is. See things from his perspective. Remember I told you, change your perspective. Oh, God, don't nobody know the trouble I see. Man, I hate this job, and I ain't going to never get a better job. And all the people here, they make me sick. But the other young lady get the job. Oh, God, I thank you. I got a job. I can pay the bills. I can feed these children. Oh, God, I thank you that some people don't have work. Lord, I thank you that even though they're not paying me what I want, I'm sowing my seed, and I'm tithing, and I choose to trust you. Now, that's a different perspective. I was listening to Bishop the other day, and he was saying, there's a single woman coming home from work and I ain't gonna never get married. I don't have no husband. I don't have no children. I'm tired of being in this house by myself. God has forgot about me. And I just want a man. Married lady comes home. Oh, Lord, ain't nobody in this house. Thank you, Jesus. I get some freedom. Let me go in here and lay out on this bed. Ain't no children, no husband, nobody to talk to me. Lord, let them stay out an extra 30 minutes today. Ooh, just give me some time. Changing your perspective. One person looking at it in the negative. The next person looks at it and they're grateful and excited about it. What's your perspective on your situation? You can't move forward looking back. Okay, y'all looking at me in that tone of voice. So perspective is everything. I'm going to give y'all another one. I was getting ready to go to another one. Let me say this, though. I heard the Lord. I shared this a couple of weeks ago with a group when I was at a funeral. God gave me the message about perspective. And see, in order to move forward, even after the death of a loved one, you got to change your perspective. Instead of saying, I've lost my mom, I lost my dad, anything you lose, you don't know where it is. But when somebody is with the Lord, you can say, you know what? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I choose to believe that they're in a better place. I choose not to harp on the grief and the sadness of losing, of what y'all say is losing my loved one. But they're not lost. I know where my daddy is. I know he's with the, I know where both of my daddies is. I know they're with the Lord. But they were talking about the two old men that was in a funeral home. I'm going to show you how strong having the right perspective is. There was one old man, he had the bedside, the window, okay, in the nursing home. They were roommates. And every day he would wake up and tell his roommate about how, the scenery outside is so pretty. And they got some beautiful birds out there. And, look at the young couple out there holding hands. They look so happy. And, I love seeing these kids playing outside here every day. And he would tell his roommate about all the wonderful things he saw, outside the window. So the roommate, that particular gentleman passed away. So his roommate said, let me go. I want to go by the window. So when he got over there by the window, he was very greatly disappointed because he said, oh, my God, there's nothing over here but a parking lot. Do you get the right perspective, the message? But the roommate made a decision that passed away that he was going to enjoy his latter days. He decided that even though there's nothing over here, he painted a picture of what he would have liked to see. This morning, what picture are you painting that will cause you to move forward? What would you like to see? Visualize yourself in a good marriage. Visualize yourself with a husband or a wife that's loving you unconditionally. Visualize yourself in that house God said that you could have. See yourself walking in your own business with your suit on, looking sharp, walking in the room like, hey, y'all, I'm here. You have to paint a picture of what you would like to see. Okay, y'all looking at me. Look what he says. This is where the action is, where Christ is. See things from his perspective. See, you can't move forward with the wrong perspective. Somebody said, I can't look back. Now, the last one, get over yourself. Somebody said, get over yourself. Go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Do we have the New Living Translation? Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 in the New Living Translation. Man, this thing is serious. Wow. She said, I got 15 minutes. I'm bringing it home. Listen at this. My old self has been crucified with Christ. See, when you're trying to go for it, you got to get over yourself. I'm going to tell you why the Lord ministered to me and why a lot of marriages aren't successful. He has told me this more than one time. And I decided after my last test, I promise you the next one that comes along my way, I will pass it. Amen. Somebody don't want to die to the flesh. Both of y'all can't be in the flesh and have a successful marriage. Somebody going to have to die to the flesh in order for it to work. I don't know who this is for. It got real quiet. But somebody's going to have to die to the flesh. That means if you acting crazy, I got to be sane. Takes two, like they said, a tango. Well, I cussed him out because he cussed me out. No, that ain't how it work. Die to self. Get over yourself. If you guys are going to move forward, somebody going to have to decide, you know, we're not going to be in a cussing match this time. Okay. Well, a hidden match. Or I ain't speaking to you no more match. Okay, y'all looking. Okay, none of y'all been challenged with that. We know. Church folks, October 31st. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So now I got to get over myself. I got to move forward. Watch this. So I live in this earthly body by what? Trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let me give you a little nugget. Jesus had to get over himself so that we could be free. If Jesus was caught up in himself and did not move forward, guess what? None of us would be here this morning. Okay, y'all looking at me in that tone of voice. Listen at this one. 1 Corinthians 9:27. Paul said this, and you can go into that in the, I guess we can just, it says NIRV, but whichever translation, it doesn't matter because I'm going to read this. He said, no, I train my body and bring it under control. Then after I have preached to others, I myself will not break the rules and fail to win the prize. So he's saying that nobody's exempt them from putting them, having to put themselves, you know, die to self, even the preacher. Okay, y'all looking at me. Even the person who's standing in front of you, we have to make a choice to get over ourselves. We're not teaching you something that we're not required to do. Look, Paul said, I discipline my body like an athlete. Who know how the athletes do it? Training it to do what it should. So you got to train your body to do what's right. If you're used to doing whatever you want to do, you got to train your body. No, you're not eating chocolate cake every day. I don't care how bad you crave it, you're not getting it. If you're sexually active and you decide you're going to live for Christ, you got to train your body that I'm not having sex. I'm stopping this until God send my mate. And we seal this thing right. You're going to have to make your body do what's right. Man, when my body cuts up, I'll put it on a fast in a minute. You think you got to have sweets every day? Let's call a fast. We fasting sweets. Whatever you can get, you feel like you don't have control over, if it's the beer, the weed, or whatever, fast it. We ain't never heard of fasting, beer and weed. Well, if you need to get free from it, fast it. What do you mean by fasting? Give yourself a two-day period. 3-day period. Then you'll find if you can go 3 days, guess what? You can go 4. If you can go 4, guess what? You can go 5. Wean yourself off. I'm waiting on the Lord to do it. I heard that this morning. I clean this house from the inside out. That sounds real good, but guess who got to clean it? You do. God didn't come to clean your house. No, y'all, I hate to break the news, because I need him to clean my physical and my natural house if he's going to clean some. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, you got to do something. If you're going to move forward, you got to clean it. Stop going over to his house. Block his number. Block her number. There's ways if you want to move forward. Well, we got this child. That's okay. We can talk through the courts if you're acting a nut. I was talking to one of my young ladies last week, and she was telling me about the guy that she got the baby by. He showing out, and he don't want to act right. So don't argue with him. No, I said, what is it about you think you got to argue with him? Stop it. Stop arguing with him. Don't ask him for another dime. I got violent with it, too. I said, don't ask him for another dime. Amen. Don't call him about your child. He got two ways he's going to take care of this. Willingly or forcefully, whichever way he want to do it. So we see he's not doing it willfully. So go on, take it to where you got to take it. And leave him alone. Close your legs. Okay, y'all looking at me in that tone. I don't want no more children. Yeah, you're saying that. I told her, but the only thing that's 100% guarantee is abstinence. I told her, I said, that's the only thing 100%. Let him go. Somebody said, do like Teddy. And let it go. Y'all didn't get that, did you? Y'all still, wake up. We finna go. He said, I discipline, Pastor coming back. Praise the Lord. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. You got to train your body to do what's right. You got to discipline your mind. Otherwise, I fear, look at the fear again. That after preaching to others, I might, myself might be disqualified. So even the pastor, to move forward, we got to make sure that we're disciplining ourselves, getting over ourselves. You got preachers in the pulpit falling. Okay, y'all looked at me in that tone of voice. Somebody say one more. Matthew 10, 38 through 39. Message Bible. Matthew 10, 38 through 39. Somebody say, get over yourself. Man, it's time to move forward. You even got to tell yourself, I'm not looking back. Sometimes you got to, sometimes you have to leave crying. I remember when I left our old church, I grew up in a Baptist church. Nothing wrong with Baptists, God knows. Nobody's denomination. I'm not talking about anyone. And I remember when I had to leave that church and I was crying. I remember going to our pastor and I told him, I said, Reverend Young, I said, I don't want to leave. I said, but I need more. I don't know who this is for. Just because you left a denomination don't mean you left God. People try to act like you left God if you leave. Sometimes God is telling you to move forward. And I remember crying, and I went and talked to him, and I said, Reverend Young, he said, you know what? He said, you got my blessings, daughter. He said, you're the first one that ever came to me and came and talked to me and asked my blessings when you departed. But I told him, I said, you know, some pastors don't, trust me, you try to go, but they think they own. You don't own no sheep. We don't own none of you guys. Pastors do not own sheep. If you come here today and tell me you feel like God don't want you to be here, all I can do is say, you know what? I'm going to pray for you. The Lord leads you where you feel like you need to be. Now, there are sometimes God might put it in our heart, you know, it's not your time. You might be in offense. We try to reach out to you. But the pastor don't own any sheep. But he says, if you don't go all the way with me, I want to leave you with this. Through thick and thin, you don't deserve me. You got to go all the way. What do you mean? The scripture says, unless a grain of wheat fall in the ground and die, it can't produce more. You got to die to yourself to see more harvest of souls. There are people who waiting on us to get it lined up, Chappelle. There is somebody got waiting on me and Rex, excuse me, Pastor Rex, to know that marriage is work. I was listening to Ivan, and you blessed me. I was looking for you. But I was reading your thing about, he was telling the singles about, and somebody so quick to tell you that they love you to be skeptical. And somebody made a comment and said, well, how's Ivan going to tell somebody when Ivan's never been married, the same way your doctor tell you when he ain't never had counsel what kind of prescriptions to take when he done studied? Same way. I was counseling married people when I was single. I started this church from scratch. I got a serious, do you know that when I was a young pastor, I had a husband, a wife, and a mistress who joined the church and nobody got killed and everybody was happy. Once they got this word, a husband, a wife, and a mistress. You know I'm telling the truth. And she had two kids the same age as his kids and his wife. She came to the church, got saved, and we all served until we left Alabama. And wasn't nobody angry. That's the kind of anointing that I carry. So you can't tell me when God give you an assignment, son, you do what God called you to do. Those that don't want to hear, shake the dust off and keep rolling. You better hear from God. And if you do jump in something, you better make sure that you have heard from the living God and not a familiar voice. Because he said, I thank you, Lord, that I hear your voice, I know your voice, and the voice of a stranger I will not follow. Why did the scripture say a voice of a stranger I will not follow? Because there are strange voices that will talk to you, that want you stuck in a rut, that will cause you not to be able to move forward. A bad relationship, oh, I don't know why I keep going back here, can hinder you from going forward. I know another woman of God. I'm done. I just said this is the last scripture. I'm bringing it home. She said for the first about 5 years of her ministry, she couldn't even preach because she met this man and she was preaching and he was mad about her preaching. And every time she would get up to preach, he would go home and beat the crap out of her. Until she got rid of him, she couldn't even go forth in her ministry. Catherine Kuhlman, I don't know if some of y'all heard of her, one of the most world-renowned healing ministers that in this history. She fooled around and married the wrong man for 10 years. She could not preach. He would not let her. She had a healing anointing. When this woman would lay hands on people, people would line up outside the door and get healed at the door from her. The anointing on her life was that strong. She married the wrong man, and for 10 years, it hindered her ministry. She said he wouldn't let her preach. He wouldn't let her lay hands on anybody. And when he met her, that's what she was doing. You think relationships are not important? So if you know, if the devil knows it's that important to you moving forward, what you think his job is? Okay, why? But I just need some, okay. Praise the Lord. Because I'm going to tell you about that too. When you jump off and doing things the way God didn't set it up, you're causing yourself to be set up for failure. I heard you. Well, God can deliver you. He can turn it around. But why go through hell to get to heaven when you don't have to? There are numerous people that will tell you don't make bad choices. Because when you do, it will hinder you from moving forward. Watch this. He says, if you don't go all the way with me through thick and thin, you don't deserve me. If your first concern is to look after yourself, then I tell you, get over yourself. You'll never find yourself. Now, this deep, ain't it? When I read this, I wanted to run. I'm calling you, Candy. Michelle, I wanted to run. Is that not awesome? He said, do y'all see this? If your first concern is to look after yourself, you'll never find yourself. I was searching for myself, too. See, another thing, when you don't know who you are, you'll connect with just anything because you're trying to, this is going to make me complete. This job, this man, this house, this. Get over yourself. Because if you haven't found yourself, if you're not in God, guess what? That stuff ain't going to mean anything. And you're not going to be able to move forward because you'll be in that house miserable and stuck. Watch this. Matter of fact, there have been women who left the house. Look, you can have a house, the car, the keys, and the kids. They just wanted free. Okay, y'all look at me in this tone of voice. There are folks who have walked away from stuff. Watch this. He says, but if you forget about yourself, somebody say, get over yourself. But if you forget about yourself and look to me, you'll find both yourself and me. Now, that's enough to shout right there. Say, get over yourself. Because when you get over yourself, he said, and look to me, you'll find both yourself and me. Let me tell you something. You will not find yourself until you find God. You can't move forward. Examine yourself. Monday night book clubs. So when I tell you, it's life changing for the women that's coming to book club. I've seen people, man, this past breakthroughs. But see, you got to get in there and ask God, show me, Lord. Why am I like this? Why do I feel like I got to have a man to be strong? Why do I feel like I got to be fearful of trusting you with my money, God? You got to get in there. Just like when you go to the doctor and you're telling them you got problems. They want to know how is this functioning? Tell me, let's pinpoint the problem. Because if they don't pinpoint the problem, then you might get a misdiagnosed case. God is saying, look, empty yourself. I want to take you forward, but you're staying backwards because you're not examining yourself. You can't get over yourself without saying, why am I like this? I have to examine myself, Eric. Why every time somebody says something, you have to snap back? Why you got to defend yourself all the time? Man, I'm so cool now, I scare myself. I told my kids, I ain't even yelling at y'all no more. I'm beyond. I will be 46 this year, and I'm going to look good until I get ready to meet Jesus. If I say sit down, that's what I meant, sit down. If I tell you to get up, that's what I meant, get up. People working around us with ministry, I told them, now we going forward. I don't have time to sit there telling you the same thing. Oh, I'm not going to do it, because I'm going to tell you right now, if you keep doing those type of things, they will hinder you from moving forward. I told them yesterday, it's like having an anchor holding you down. When you got wrong associations and people around you, and when you looking back, and when you not over yourself, that's an anchor. Imagine a big old yacht that's not anchored down. It can move freely, right? But what happens when it's anchored down? It's not moving. It can't go anywhere. And some of you have allowed situations and circumstances to hold you down like anchors. God is saying, what the scripture we read? I have something special for you. God said, I got a plan for your life. And I'm going to sit down, and I feel this real strongly. You guys have to be very, very careful about your associations. Man, this is one of the major tricks I find that the enemy, he has no new tricks. And one of the major tricks is to get you with the wrong connections and wrong associations, even concerning a church home. You might not understand it now, but your steps will order those of you guys who are part of this ministry. It ain't just about me and Pastor Rex. Your destiny is locked in here. Your destiny is locked in. There's an anointing on our ministry for prosperity, healing, marriages. There's an anointing here. And the trick of the enemy is to get you to keep looking back, anchored down, so that you cannot move forward. Repeat after me. I make a choice this day to move forward. I choose to remove any toxic associations in my life. I choose to forget those things that are behind and move forward and set my mind on things above. I make a choice to get over myself because I realize that when I find Christ, I find myself. Now give God a shout of praise. Man, God is so good.